So without further ado, I'd like to turn over to Judy Graves, today's speaker, who will introduce today's speaker. So Judy, without further ado, over to you.
Welcome everyone to the monthly Library of Congress program on OPAL. Today we have a program on family reunions, exploring your roots. And Tom has put in the handout that we've prepared for this program. And I'm not able to scroll down for you, but you are here, so you can scroll down and see that we've given you links to home pages in our collections. These are primarily from the American Memory Digital Collections on various aspects involved in recreating a family genealogy. So you can scroll down and look at this, but today we're also going to take you into some of these collections. So fear not, if you get pulled away, the handout is here, and we will also take you into these so you can play around and try finding something on your own family. Now, without further ado, what we would really like is to hear from you. Would you either type in where you're coming from, or take turns at the mic if you want to practice your microphone and your sound. And give us a reason. Tell us why you've come to this program. While you're doing that, I'm going to take you to the Library of Congress homepage. Kay, is that Greensburg? What state is Greensburg in?
Judy, it looks like you need to turn on synchronized browsing. Sorry.
Wonderful. So we're from all over the country. This is exciting. Colorado, Virginia, Illinois, Massachusetts, Baton Rouge, Indiana. Oh, good. Greensburg, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Missouri. Oh, this is exciting. I'm so happy you all are here. Now, I would like to introduce you to our wonderful guest speaker. Ann Tuohy is a genealogy specialist in our local history and genealogy reading room. And she has consented to be our guest presenter here. She does programs for anyone visiting the library, helping them to get started in their genealogy research. She was also the person who selected materials for one of our collections in American Memory, one in particular that will help those of you from the Midwest as you do genealogy research. So I am going to turn it over to Ann while I navigate. And while I'm turning it over to Ann, I am going to navigate to the library to her homepage. I'm here at Researchers. I'm going to click on Researchers here on the homepage. And once on the researcher page, I am going to scroll down to where I see all reading rooms and research centers. I'm going to click on that link. And once here on the left under general collections, I am going to take us down to local history and genealogy. And this will be your anchor point as you begin to do research with Library of Congress materials. And Ann will take us through important areas of this page and then into the collections.
Hi, it's so nice to be here again today. As Judy said, I have many hats working as a librarian here at the Library of Congress in genealogy. I could see you at the reference desk if you decided to come to visit. I could be the person who gave you an orientation if you came here. I could be meeting you as I am over this web program today. But one thing's for sure, I love doing genealogy and I love helping other people do their genealogy. And I want to start here with the homepage that Judy has brought us to, this local history and genealogy reading room. Okay, homepage. Before I start that though, please feel free to ask questions as we go along. We'll try to stop and answer those either orally or in writing. This local history and genealogy homepage, I'm glad that Judy showed you how to do that from our main homepage, but also remember with the handout, we also have this web address that you can click right into it. This is going to be sort of your anchor. This is going to tell you about the Library of Congress and is going to give you some starting points. This is not a page where you can find your ancestor. We're not Ancestry.com or Heritage Quest, but what it will do is help you get started. So I'm just going to go down the side a little bit. We talk about our tours and research orientations. As I said, all the librarians give those. We do those twice a month. There's a little before you begin part, which tells you a little bit about all the reading room policies and how to prepare for your research. We have something on the collections. What do we have here? Basically, we have published material, but you'll see that we have all kinds of other kinds of material, too, that you might not necessarily think of when you think of published material, which you might think, oh, those are books and journals and newspapers, but we also have things like maps, we have prints and photographs. There are all kinds of things at the Library of Congress, and some of those collections, like newspapers or maps, or manuscripts, all have their own reading rooms, which also have a homepage like this, so you can branch out. We have a little bit about internet subscription services. Now, these are services that we pay for so people can use for free, but unfortunately, because of the way those are structured, we can only offer that service at our library. However, some similar services or the same services may be offered in your home state, either at your state library, at a public library. Many of them now have Ancestry.com or Heritage Quest for free. You may be able to get them at a university library near you if you have privileges there. We have some searching tips. That's to allow you to know how to search in our card catalog for materials. We're a very old library and a very big library, so we have cataloged things over the years in different ways, and this is to help you find all the things that you want on a certain county, for instance, which has a sort of a peculiar kind of search, and many of you will want to search about your own county to see what we have here. We have something about acquiring published genealogies. Actually, it doesn't have to be published by a publisher or printed up. It could be something that, you know, is printed from your own laptop. If you give it to us, we will bind it into library binding, and it'll look like a book when we get done, and it will be listed on our card catalog. We have some bibliographies and guides. That's where librarians have gone in on a certain subject and collected all kinds of material for you to use and put it all in one place so you could find out about how to find your Welsh ancestors or your German ancestors or whatever. American Memory we'll be talking about a lot more today. This is digitized materials from all of our collections. Many of those collections are multifaceted so that you get things from the music division, things from the map division, things from perhaps the local history and genealogy division, or books and journals, or whatever, but all together in one place on one subject. And then we have a little list of internet sources. I always tell people we're not Cindy's List, but Cindy's List is on there, and that's the biggest source of genealogical websites that you can find. One more minute. Can you scroll it over to so that it shows the Ask a Librarian? If you can scroll over to the other edge of the page, there are two more important services. One of them is at the bottom. It's Search the Library's Catalog. If you click in there, you'll be in the Library's Catalog. That's how you can find out what books we have. Many of our books, or most of our books, I have to say, are not online to read. Although we're going to show you a lot of collections that do have online material, full text of books to read today, but not everything is. And if you want to find out all the books on a particular topic, then we're a good place to come because we have such a large collection. And then sometimes you can get those books through interlibrary loan. The Ask a Librarian is important because if you think of something later that's, you know, one of your personal genealogy questions that you've been trying, some of the problem you've been trying to solve in genealogy, you can click in there and you can ask a librarian, and within 2 days you should get, or 3 days, you should get an answer which will not necessarily do all your research for you, but it'll tell you where to go next. And of course, if we do have something in the collection that's unique, we will actually send that to you. So I guess without further ado, I'm going to have Judy move us on to the next page, unless there are some questions that you want answered.
Okay, now Anne's turned it over to me just a minute so we can navigate to where you're going to find these rich resources. And again, as Anne said, people are after ideas. Please ask anytime through this. If we can't answer it right now, we'll get your email and or give you our email, and then you can ask us later. Please do. Now, what I'm going to do is, again, up at the top, I'm going to navigate to the homepage of the Library of Congress, right there. Now, you're anchored here again, and across the top where these images are, this is our digital content. Right now, we're going to primarily focus in American Memory and take you to some specific collections that we feel would be of use to you, but please don't forget that we have other material, especially if your ancestors come from other countries, and we all have somewhere around the globe. Go to Global Gateway for other information. But I'm going right now into American Memory, so I'm going to click on the American Memory button. Now this takes you to the home page, and there are, since there are about 135 collections here, I'm not going to go any further than this. From our handout, and I'm going to grab a page from our handout and take us right to one of the collections we'd like for you to explore. This is the African American Experience in Ohio, 1850 to 1920. It is an Ameritech collection, meaning that the Ameritech folks had grants and funded the digitization project with the Ohio Historical Society. And there are many ways that you can search. And right now I'm going to turn it over to Anne to give you some highlights.
If you scroll down the page, you'll see that there's a description of the collection. And if you keep going, there will be more about the collection, related resources, and all that kind of thing that you can read for yourself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you in through special presentation, a selection of favorites chosen by the curators. And when we get in here, we're going to click on pamphlets. These are personal accounts, organizational reports. So can we click in, Judy, on favorite items? And if you scroll down here, you'll see some of the pamphlets. Here's a, at the top is the Colored American Republican Textbook, Partisan Account of What the Republican Party Has Done for African Americans. Of course, it was published in 1899. But let's click into this Reverend Charles Thompson, Biography of a Slave, being the experiences of Reverend Charles Thompson, a preacher in Ohio. This would, of course, have been written after the Civil War, but by someone who had actually experienced being a slave. And as you can see, across the top, we have pages 1 through 103, and you can go in, page by page if you're a very organized person, or you could click in just to the middle of it and read, and you'll see that what you're getting, try clicking on a page. Try clicking perhaps on page 30. I don't even know what's on page 30, but we're going to just take a look. Oh, page 30 is coming up in an odd way for me, so I may have to choose another page. Oh, no, here it comes. It just you can see that what you've got is actually the page of a book. So what you're doing is you're reading a book right out of the Library of Congress collection. Is this book only at the Library of Congress? No, because it was probably published in at least 100 copies. So it's probably in Midwestern libraries and other places. But here, you do not have to interlibrary loan it. You do not have to go to one of those libraries. If your public library doesn't have it, you can just read it right here.
I enjoy using things such as this because although it may not have the exact name of my particular ancestor, these sorts of materials will have been at the same time, it would be similar experiences, and can help you understand how members of your family or your friends' families, if you're doing work for another person, could have felt. Oh, and I'm going to take this moment to invite you, when we come to a page such as Anne brought you to this book, and we are here
I am not going to be clicking all around. I'm going to give you the opportunity to click and explore for yourself. So when you hear us do that, please feel free to go in and explore.
Let's, Judy, let's go back to the original page back before that, to the menu, I guess I would call it. And let's just give people a chance for a minute to click into something else that on this page that might interest them. Always remembering that if you wanted to, you could actually go back to the first page we showed you and do a search. So, for instance, you might search for Underground Railroad and see whether there are any experiences of people on that. I happen to know that there are, so that would be, yeah, we could go back and do that. search by keyword. Just try a keyword search.
So we've pulled up 88 items on the Underground Railroad, and this looks like an opportune time to let you choose one of these for yourself and click in. So we'll give you a minute or so.
Meantime, if someone would like to ask some questions, we'd certainly be delighted to answer them. Okay, while you're doing that, I can tell you my little Underground Railroad story. Actually, in my family, who lived in Illinois, did have a stop on the Underground Railroad in Elgin, Illinois. And one day at the library, I was doing something for someone else. I was answering a letter, actually, that one of you people could have sent in to me and could send in to me another time. But I had no idea what I was going to find out about my own family while I was doing that. I was reading a little biography of Wild Bill Hickok, and it turned out that he had grown up in Troy Grove, Illinois. And it turned out that he used to, when he was a teenager, help his father on the Underground Railroad to take the slaves from their place on their hiding place in the Underground Railroad station to the next one up, which happened to be Panton's Mill. Well, there was only one Panton in Elgin, Illinois, and that was my great-great-grandfather. So he apparently knew my great-great-grandfather, Wild Bill Hickok.
These are good. I was just reading the description of Robert Wilson, who lived from 1799 to 1871. I was wondering, who wrote the descriptions? Does someone at the Library of Congress write those, or who supplied this pretty extensive kind of historical thumbnail sketch of him?
Tom, which one are you talking about?
It's the photograph of Robert Wilson.
Which number? 13? Well, offhand, I will tell you what happens when we put together a collection. This is a joint collection with the Ohio Historical Society, and this is an item record that the Library of Congress prepares for each one of its items. Usually we take whatever information comes with the collection when we create this item record. So if some wonderful person at the Ohio Historical Society had this in their item record for this particular item, it was taken from there. If, unfortunately, nothing existed with this item, then there would have been a person at the Ohio Historical Society who might have been assigned to it. And if they did not do it, then it would have been done by someone here. But these would have, having worked with people who create these item descriptions, it's usually created by someone who is thoroughly versed in cataloging, working with someone who is a content specialist. Unfortunately, we are all anonymous. I'm going to take you to our next collection that we're going to look at, and I put the URL in the text box. And if you click on that, you should go straight away to the Map Collections homepage. Ann mentioned maps as being part of the materials that we have here at the library. The map division has the largest collection of maps in the world. And they are very, very proactive in making these maps available. Ann and I thought two things about the map collection that would interest you. One, if you are looking for a particular city or town, this would be the place for you to come and search and look for them. But we also know that many people are interested in the Civil War. And so I'm going to direct you to, on the right-hand side, the link for military battles and campaigns.
and click on that link. And now that we are here at Military Battles and Campaigns, I am going to scroll down the page to where I see the different campaigns mentioned, but I'm going to click on the Civil War Maps Collection, and I too have a story to share. The Civil War Maps Collection is an official map collection that was used during the Civil War, but they are detailed maps, and you can go and search on the battle if you've got an ancestor that you know fought in one of the battles. In my case, my brother's wife's, about four grades back, uncle died at the Battle of Petersburg in Virginia. And my brother's a genealogy hobbyist. And he asked me what I knew about this battle. Well, right now I'm allowing you. You can go in by subject or place. So on the left-hand side, you see place. You can go in by place. And I can take you to place. And you can go look at these different regions. This takes you back to a graphic, so you can choose the location. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to let you search. I went to the Virginia Battle of Petersburg and actually found the unit, the company, in which my sister-in-law's uncle was assigned, and knowing that, then we were able to, we found where he had actually died, and then we went to the National Park Service database for this particular area, and we found him. And on a trip up here, my brother and his wife actually were able to walk the area where her ancestor had fought all of those years ago. Now, I've taken you to this page. Does anyone have any questions about finding any of these maps on the Civil War?
No, and I was just co-browsing into the Battle of Lexington, Missouri, which is not too far from where I currently am.
I know, and I will say to the teachers out there, I was excited about seeing, Midge's second great grandfather fought at Petersburg. Hey, well, I'll put you together with my sister-in-law, Midge. but what's interesting, I was talking to a principal of an elementary school, and he also taught fourth grade. And he said, oh, my kids aren't into the Civil War. And I said, well, guess again. Are you into local history with kids this age? Yes. Well, these maps are part of your local history. So don't be put off by the fact that these are war maps and your curriculum doesn't take you into the war until 2 years or so later. If it's part of your local history, as Tom's is in Missouri, please go in and look at what's there.
An example of that is that there are in our collection here at the Library of Congress some tactical maps made by the Austrians before World War I. They have every little town, and they have them in such detail that they actually have the houses lining the roads as little dots. And I was able to find the very small little village where my grandfather and his great-greats came from in Poland, which at the time that the maps were made, it was in Austria. Then it became part of Poland and then part of Ukraine.
So creative ideas. And I'm going to pull you away. We're going to go to another collection called Pioneering of the Upper Midwest. This should be especially of value to anyone from Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So I'm going to turn it over to Ann while I put in this URL and take us there.
Well, this one is close and dear to my heart because I spent about 15 years living in Michigan. In fact, I was a graduate student at the University of Michigan. And so I think that was one reason why my colleague and I were asked to help to choose the material from the collections, the books that you will actually see in this Pioneering the Upper Midwest. This was a collection that was funded by the Kellogg company, which, as you may all know that from your breakfast cereal. And so therefore, we did books from Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, because sometimes the funders have some say over what kinds of things they would like to see digitized. And this portrays those states. There are all kinds of things in here you can read about on this front page about first person accounts, biographies, promotional literature. I always love that for the West and the Midwest, where people who were already pioneering there were trying to get other people to come and settle in the areas, and they talk with glowing accounts of how big the corn is and that kind of thing. Local histories, all this kind of thing. Again, you can get an overview in the special presentation. You can go down and read about the collection. You can search by keyword. I'm going to give you a chance, at least those of you in the Midwest, to try something. If you don't know what to search because you can't quite think of a Midwest town, try Oberlin, Ohio, or try Kalamazoo, Michigan. Let's do Kalamazoo.
Okay. I know you can't see when I type in a word, so I typed in just the word Kalamazoo and the descriptive information, and we were given 5 different items with Kalamazoo.
Okay, let's just pick one. Let's do Journal of a Trip to Michigan in 1841, and we're going to pull up some, Judy, if you can pull that up for us. It's a summary of a book that describes a 3-week trip from Rochester, New York to southern Michigan by way of the Great Lakes. And obviously one of the places that they went to was, as it says, near Kalamazoo, and that's why we're pulling this up. Other books might be about Kalamazoo, but this is one of the examples of Michigan description and travel. So if your ancestors were traveling in that time period, now this was actually written in 1904, but it was about an earlier journey, and in the 1840s, I don't think you would see I-94, that big freeway, sitting in the middle of the state. You would be traveling in a very different way, and so this would give you an idea of how your ancestors, maybe the ones that went to Michigan, but also Michigan was a big thruway from Canada and Ohio out toward the rest of the Midwest. I had relatives who went from Canada to Illinois over that road just about that time period, so this would be a very interesting thing to read. I picked Kalamazoo because that's where I lived in the Midwest, but you could pick any town, and I hope that some of you are exploring it.
Okay, I'm going to take you back to the search page. If you'd like to search on a term, please do. You're at the search page. And if anyone finds anything interesting, let us know. Or if you have a question about this area or others, please let us know. Next up, we're going to take you to some life histories.
You know, just as a context for this, I'm going to be, later this summer, I'm going to be leading an online book discussion of Giants in the Earth, a novel about prairie sod busting, and I already found some great resources here that would sort of help provide some context for that discussion.
Oh, Tom, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, anyone reading a novel or exploring an area, you can find wonderful text. You can also find great photographs. We have a great photograph collection that has wonderful pictures of sod houses. So you can find all sorts of things that will add richness and another level of understanding to any book discussion.
Oops, I seem to have lost the audio. Is someone speaking?
Actually, Tom, Judy and I were talking together, not speaking, but we have some other things from American Memory that would go right along with the novel that you're planning to talk about, so we were trying to locate those.
This is it. I'm not going to click on it, but you can go and see it on your own browser right now. This is a photograph collection, and there are all sorts of wonderful pictures of sod houses. Just enjoy. It's right on the mark with your particular book.
Also, Tom, if you go into American Memory, as you may know, you could probably just put in sod houses, and you would get other places and other collections that would describe that.
We're going to take you to another, yes, Mary's got a good question. Tom, at the end of the session, perhaps you could tell us about your book discussion. I think that would be a great idea. Unless you want to give a little bit of an answer right now.
Give me a minute to look up the date, and then I'll let everybody know, okay? Thanks.
One thing I always say about genealogy, it does get people interested in all the rest of American history, as well as other histories from the countries that your ancestors are from.
Taken you to American life histories, and this is another opportunity for you to play around, and I'll tell you a little story. You can select a state, but then that gives you all of the life histories about a state, and you can't really search within the state. The best way to do this is to search by keyword. So I'm going to take you to the search by keyword space. And I am going to actually perform a search, but then I'm going to let you do your own. Midge has been working on Ellis Island. Midge, do we have material for you? I'm going to search on Limestone County just for a moment. Limestone County, Gail Petrie helped you. Yes, Gail is a retired school librarian who is working with us. I'm so glad if she helped you, then you've got what you need. What I've done is type on Limestone County. Limestone County is in the middle of nowhere in Texas. It is south of Dallas. That's as close as you can get, and north of Temple. Means nothing to a lot of people if you're not from Texas. However, my great-great-great-great-grandmother was a Texas pioneer in Limestone County, in a little town that now has only two people. It's called Lost Prairie. In fact, she's buried there. And I had no clue about anything about Limestone County until I hit this collection. 11 documents popped up on Limestone County, Texas. And from piecing these documents together, I know all about the county seat. I know what happened to them after the Civil War when my grandmother and grandfather were building their homestead and what their children faced. Everything. So this is my example, and what I'm going to do is take you back and give you some time to A, ask us questions, or B, conduct a search on somewhere in the United States that makes sense to you. For everyone, Tom has put all of the information about the book discussion in the text chat. He is going to archive this text chat. It will be available after the web conference, so anyone who wants this information can find it.
Yeah, I couldn't quite copy and paste all of it in here, but we're going to have two discussions, one in the afternoon and one in the evening in the U.S. time zones on Thursday, November 16th. And it's part of this Becoming American NEH-funded grant through the Alliance Library System. That's what we'll be doing here mid-November.
Has anybody found anything, or are you searching on something? Now, y'all are either extremely engaged or you are very, very quiet. We have this lovely voice over IP system and text chat, and it's an opportunity for you to ask us questions. Please do.
I was just doing some quick searching on Fort Dodge, Iowa, my hometown.
Midge, we have some wonderful photographs from New England as well, scattered throughout the collections. Great maps. Well, we're going to pull you away because we're going to take you to a wonderful book collection, the 19th century in print.
Well, now just imagine someone going into two huge university libraries, which I'm sure you've all heard of. One of them is the University of Michigan, and the other one is Cornell University, and digitizing all of the 19th century in print. This is really a two-part collection. There are books and there are periodicals. And this is a wonderful collection because I think today, as we've been talking, many of the stories that Judy and I have told, or Tom's book that he's probably going to be, that he is going to be discussing, probably takes place in the 19th century. So there would be all kinds of books and journal articles here that you could use to back up any of the subjects that we've talked about, from the sod houses to the Underground Railroad. Again, you could search by keyword. And there's a special sampler of collection themes. Obviously, we have the Civil War. We've talked about that. Slavery and abolition, we talked about that. Here are some on religion, education, self-help. How about travel and westward expansion with Tom's subject? And then there's poetry. So there are all kinds of things in this collection. If you can't think of a search by keyword, try doing one of the sampler collection things and see what you can find on the Civil War, perhaps, or some poetry. Leave you to explore this.
I found a book, My Life on the Plains, or Personal Experiences with Indians, by G.A. Custer. Yes, that is George Armstrong Custer. Published in 1874.
There's some surprising things in these collections. Really surprising. And Midge was exploring a laboratory school. Yes, that's one of the ways that we've gotten administrators interested in bringing technology and our materials to the schools. Let them find their alma mater. We're going to pull you out of this one and take you to a photograph collection. This is the homepage for America from the Great Depression to World War II. You can go into the black and white or the color and search by geographic location index. I'm going to take you into the black and white photos simply because there are so many more of them. And the possibilities to find a place, either your part of your history or near your hometown is greater. So I'm going into black and white photos, and I'm going to take you to the geographic location index. And you'll see there are quite a few ways to get in here, some international photos, but primarily by state. So you can choose a state and go in. The beauty of this is just think about photographs being taken of the Depression time frame. We were at the in the 19th century, and now we are in the 1939-40 time frame. Here we are, photographs. You had text, now you have photographs of all of these small towns and out-of-the-way places in the United States. So see if you can find something for an area either where you're from or where a friend's from or near. These Christmas trees are for sale at the market in Providence, Rhode Island. Yes. I love these photographs because they document everyday things. In fact, that was the mandate for these photographers, to just go out and photograph life, photograph celebrations, people actually living their lives. So you really get a flavor for what it was like to live at this particular time. Anyone else? Midge has found an area near where her father-in-law worked, and he's 92. Yes. But just think, if you want to capture a memory from your father-in-law, you could get a tape recorder or a video camera, and you could show him some of these old photographs, and that would probably be a great memory jog to get him to give you a first-person account of what that would be like. And just think what a treasure that would be for your children and grandchildren to come. Does anyone have any questions or make any other observations?
Lots of good photographs here, Kansas City Stockyards, things like that, my area.
Hello, Pickens County. What kind of software was used to index this photo collection? I personally don't know. But if you send an email message, and I will direct you where to send it, to the Ask a Librarian area digital reference team, they can get that right to our web team, our production team, that is responsible for doing the behind-the-scenes indexing of this. All right. Okay? We'll take you there at the end. I'm going to put in the URL for another collection. We're getting close to the end of time. So let me put in the collection URL for a Civil War set of materials.
Say something to Pickens County too. I actually work with the Fairfax County Library System, and if you go onto their webpage, you can get into a whole set of their photographs that they have in their archives of Fairfax County. So I hope maybe you have a collection that you've already started, or you're thinking about starting a collection, because These collections in local libraries are terribly unique. We don't have those pictures necessarily, probably don't have those pictures at all at the Library of Congress. We're depending on the local libraries to be collecting some of the local things that we just don't have the capacity, large a system as we are, to collect. Okay, I'm going to switch into Civil War treasures. Now, this is from one historical society. Multiply that out by all the places, perhaps, that you are right now, where there are either Civil War battles were fought, people were sent to the Civil War, or perhaps I saw someone from Colorado Springs. Perhaps people moved there after the Civil War, so you have Civil War soldiers. There are many, many things that can be collected on a local level, just as I was talking about with Pickens County Library. These, again, you can search by keyword. You can see now how these collections are sort of set up for you to access. You can browse by subjects, by names, by archival collections. I think that's nothing new after this afternoon. There are various things, and all of them come, most of them are going to relate to New York City or to New York regiments or to the New York area. Try this, and even if you're not from New York or you don't know anything about New York, think about how putting together a collection in your own area could be done based on this collection.
Midge, we do have special presentations, and they're off the learning page. We have what we call collection connections, and we've looked at each one of these collections in terms of their curricular fit, taken examples from the collections, and put links in these essays back into the collection. So we do have other special presentations other than those listed with the collection. Pickens County asks, they're in the process of putting their photo collection online, and they're considering using Greenstone. Any advice? Pickens County, what we want to do with this is to hook you up with the people here who are working these issues. At the very end of this, I'll take you to the Ask a Librarian area, and we will give you the opportunity to see where that is so you can then ask your question and then have it directed to the person who'd be appropriate to answer it. One thing about these collections that I need to make, this says Civil War Treasures from the New York Historical Society. If you search in here, you will find that the materials in here are not only of New York. You are going to find things that were collected by the New York Historical Society relating to the Civil War. They can be from other areas. So please do not let the title deter you from looking for something, say, from Illinois. Okay, again, we've made the point here. What I want to do now is answer the Pickens County Library System question and take you to where you can ask us more questions. I'm clicking on American Memory, and I'm going to use the breadcrumb trail to get back to the Library of Congress homepage. And on the left-hand side of the Library of Congress homepage, under Library Resources, the third link down is Ask a Librarian homepage. And Peter has put the URL in the text chat. And he's also put the Digital Reference Team web form in the text chat. And that's exactly where I'm going to direct you now. If you scroll down a bit to Digital Collections, the second link is Digital Reference Team. This is where I advise you to ask your question about anything having to do with digital projects. And if you have other questions about what's on the website, you can ask them here. The Ask a Librarian form, and I'm going to back up one, the Ask a Librarian form for the Local History and Genealogy Reading Room is also available off this page. And we have about, I guess it's 3 minutes left. So does anyone have any questions for our guest presenter?
While we're waiting, let me just say that I saw that someone was here because they're going to go to an actual family reunion. A lot of what we've been talking about is doing a family history. And of course, you could use any of these ideas. Like Judy said, you could take some. You could take your laptop. Put up American Memory, get some pictures up, and see if Grandma and Grandpa will tell you some more about this place that might be near the place that they worked or lived. Also, you can search our collections. There are actually books that you would also be able to find in your public library about how to arrange a family reunion and what kinds of activities. We hope we've given you some good ideas, and you're real creative, and you can just take what we have here from American Memory and use that. But there are also whole books written about other kinds of activities that you can do. Be sure, when you're doing this, to remember oral history. Oral histories, perhaps even such as someone said their grandfather told them about the hurricane of 1926, or 36, I can't remember, sorry. This is the time to gather all the memories that you can from your family. You've got them all in one place, and actually they'll play off one another. They'll talk to one another as you sit and hopefully have a tape recorder and take notes. This can be a wonderful addition to someone's family history to humanize it, to make it not just about who begat who, but why they did all of these things and how they felt about things.
And to the person who's in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Sandy, I have to tell you, I am from Louisiana, and of course that means I've searched through the collections. There is a wealth of information here that you'll be able to find to help others in the state as they research their genealogy, including our international materials. Well, I think we're just about out of time. We do these programs monthly, and we're always interested in hearing ideas from those, from our listeners and our participants. If there's a topic that you'd like to know more about or to have us cover, please email us with that suggestion. We're always listening to any questions or comments or suggestions y'all might have. So last chance, any questions for Ann or me?
Thanks very much, Judy and Ann.
Again, y'all come back. Next month we'll be doing a program on the Declaration of Independence, and we'll introduce you to some more wonderful resources from the Library of Congress. Have a great day and a great month. Goodbye.